my friend, what's her name? What's her name? Emmanuel. How many Emma do we have? I know only one Emma. You don't have another name? Joseph. Emma Joseph. Let's use Joseph because there is an Emma here. Join me in 15 minutes so that we'll be able to achieve something. Get your own jotter so that you join us. I don't know. Don't know how far we'll be able to go. The Bible says, can we project Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 1 verse? Let's see how many scriptures we'll be able to do. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Say, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it. The question now is, what is it? Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Something is happening here. Do you know what is happening? When you come to meetings like this, as a result of the activities of the Holy Spirit through teachings, prayers, and many things, you are granted access, entrance into things that you never knew before existed. But God's intent is not that you stop at entrance. So, this is a man, and the scripture spoke about, what's your name? Emmanuel, you are the... What was the meaning of Emmanuel itself? We pray that it is literal here in the name of Jesus. So let's... you need to follow me in this teaching as much as you can before we switch. Because you can't believe how much, you know, some of us are able to bring. I used to doubt that many things. But my life has become proof. I use my life to believe God. This is a man. What is happening here is that he has entrance. For example, let me give you a literal example of what is happening here. Do you know that God is love? How many of you know that God is love? You know. You don't know. And I need to quickly tell you that love is not God. Very fast. But I don't want to go there. God is love. God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. Are you with me? It's God that defines what is love. It's not love that defines what is God. So, now, and you came to a point and suddenly you encounter the reality called the love of God. And it so happens that at that season of your life, that the revelation that God is bringing across to you is the revelation of his love. Huh? That has become the will of God for you in that season. The will of God for you in revelation is that he is love. And many of the times, the way it is manifest is that despite your shortcomings and incapacity to measure up to his standard, he still extended his grace towards you as a proof of his love. Just like the scripture said in the book of John chapter 3 verse 16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the proof of God's love is that he gave his only begotten son. And that kind of giving was manifested in the fact that Jesus died for us. And it was in the death of Jesus that grace was made available for us. That's not where I'm going. My point is this. You need to follow me. My point is this. God is trying to teach you about his love. And maybe you come to a meeting like this, and by one bullet that the man of God fired, you suddenly began to cry, and you said that I'm feeling the love of God, I'm experiencing the love of God. Do you know many people will leave that meeting and think that that is all it's about? No, let me teach you. This is what the scripture is saying. No, show me my scripture. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. He said, for this cause, we also, since we, the day we heard of it. What is it, Emmanuel? What is it? Huh? Let's clap for this guy. Clap for him. He's in touch with me. Because I thought you would mention another thing, but even though you don't even know you are correct, but you are correct. So in this context now, the it has become the love of God because it has become the context of our exegesis. Even though Paul was talking about another thing, but we are trying to bring out a principle in the spirit that when men are granted access and entrance, it doesn't end there. That there is what we call knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So there is a depth. Remember, this is access that is granted by revelation. Are you with me? But the capacity to benefit from that access that has been granted to you is dependent on these two structures now. One is what? Huh? Is there now wisdom? The other one is what? Spiritual understanding. So there is such a thing as wisdom and spiritual understanding. So these two guys at the back now can experience the same thing at the same time, but after like 6 months you will notice that there will be difference between the two of them. The difference is their capacity to enter deeper into the revelation that God has brought. See, when you encounter reality, there are two key things that God have to grant you so that you will be able to benefit the most from it. The first one is what we call revelation. But it doesn't stop at revelation because there are actually depths and layers in revelation. There are things you know about certain truths in God 3 years ago. And by this year, you have no more. Not as if the one you knew before was incorrect. But it so happens that the one you knew now, you know now, is a deeper dimension of what you knew before. And your strength and stature has been increased in God as a result of the deeper insight. So what God grants to you is revelation. But don't stop at revelation. There is a capacity to gain insight. Revelation is a sovereign act of the Spirit. Actually, you can gain it by prayer. But the scripture, this Bible, the scripture has gates. You know what is gate? This is what is gate, like door, gate. Let's assume it's in the spirit. And you are not with the key. And you are trying to enter. What will happen? So that means that you can read the Bible over and over again for the same place for 6 months. And there is no access. So when a man has been granted access to the truth, abiding in a scripture, it is revelation. That one you can't do anything. You can't exercise your will and then you enter into it. The Holy Spirit have to do something about it. And when he has done something about it, then it's revelation. And then sometimes when he opens it up, people that are wise, that are experienced, I'm telling you the difference between you and people that are serious in God, and that's why they went ahead. People that are wise, once that thing opened, and before, I wasn't used to that opening for me much. So those days, like in my 400 level, 2012, right, yes. I'll be studying, and once the revelation comes, I will jump on my table like this and start digging. Because as of that time, the revelation you gain now, it is like a gate that opened. And sometimes you don't know how long that gate will be open. I was speaking with a man of God who is my friend. He's not even one. We were many. We went to celebrate a friend's birthday last year at Onitsha. So when we got talking, one of the things we rounded up on is that there are many revelations that is lost in the body of Christ because men did not pay attention
on the day that the gate opened to gain deeper access to it. And it so happens that if you are the one that God opened the gate to, it's possible that it will take another 1 year for somebody to step into that place that you are standing in the spirit, so that that gate will be open to the person. So that body of revelation will be lost. When you listen to men speak about the same things you have heard before, and the way they talk about it is so different from the way you have seen it, it is a proof that they stood before a gate that you have not seen before. And the day you stand before that gate, as I believe, God is granting men access as a result of this kind of meeting. What you do is to apply yourself. Do you know why I said all these things? I said all these things for you to understand that when gates are open to you as a result of the teachings that are going on, your benefit from it is dependent on you. What did I say? Your benefit is dependent on what? So as we are saying these things, certain people have decided in their heart to be digging deep. Have sat before a great man of God. As a matter of fact, when I come before him, initially the people around me did not know why I was doing what I was doing. Part of the reason I could do it was because I used to be an usher. I was an usher for 6 years. It was from being an usher that I became a pastor. So if the man of God was talking, I would carry my jotter, stand up and be listening to him, because I know that as good as he is, that there is a place he will stop. The remainder is left for me, and I need to know those places. My spirit need to indict those places. I need to mark the gate. You have gone to Lagos before. Oh, wow. Emma, you have gone to Lagos now. Can you drive to Lagos? Do you know, can you spot all the roads, the corners, everything? How many times have you gone to Lagos? Just 4 times, and you know everywhere. But you can drive yourself now. Now, this is what the point I'm trying to make. There is a way you pass a particular road. Even if you are in the night, you know where there is bomb. Is it not true? You don't even, whether your headlight is working or not, you know where there is bomb. I said, there is a way you interact with truth when it's being communicated to you. You will put landmarks in the teaching, because you are going to come back there and dig. It's like a researcher, somebody that is digging for treasures. Sometimes you will enter into the site and you will notice that from experience, you know that there is possibility of finding treasure in this place. There is possibility of finding here. There is possibility of finding here. So you mark them out with landmarks, because you are going to come back. In Jesus' name. So I want us to start from the book of John. How many minutes do I have? So I will know how to position, whether it's short distance or long distance. Okay, it's short distance. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, ready, go. Then, read the second part. How many of you did Bible quiz? Rita, you did Bible quiz now. You use this verse. Many of you have used this verse for Bible quiz. So where are my Bible quiz guys? Let's find out what it means. What's this scripture talking about? The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who is this thief? Huh? How do you know? You guys assume too much, oh. You assume too much from the scripture. How do you know who is the thief now? Okay, you are the one that said it's the devil. Let's agree on what you said. Majority carries the vote. Is it not true? Huh? Anyway, I need to tell you, in the matters of truth, majority doesn't carry the vote. The thief cometh not. I don't know who is the thief. That's not my business. Maybe in another class I will tell you. I need to say something fast so that we go into our lecture. The thief cometh not but to steal. Mark it. Steal. 1, 2. To kill. And 3. To destroy. Okay, let's even assume that Satan is the thief. And he came to steal. What did he steal? Huh? He said he stole life, stole dominion. What again? I'm already impressed. Huh? He said that was all. Okay, let's agree with you. 2, to kill. Who did he kill? Huh? He said his man. 3, to destroy. Who did he destroy? You're actually better than some people, because there are some people here, they are afraid that I will possibly point at them and ask them. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. The reason why I will do it is to catch your attention, not necessarily for you to answer. There is no special place for getting the answer or not. If you get it, it's good. But it's to catch your attention. So if you know that the question can land on you anytime, you will now pay attention. Kai. Let me go and meet the men of God. Because the way they are sitting like this, they sat in such a way that it's possible they won't ask them this question. Let me focus on you people. You know, part of the reason why I'm not a conventional teacher, because many of the people here, I know you now. So why will I be teaching as if I don't know you? I know Ebu, but I know Victor, I know Rita, I know Victoria, I know Chinenye, I know your sister. The first and last time was in your wedding. It's good to see you in revival meeting. Kamahaba, Dehetes Kahaya. I don't want to go there. Because there is a baptism that God gave me as soon as I picked the mic. You know, but the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And part of the proof that you have started maturing is that you can see things, receive it, keep it for the day of use. Don't lose it, though. If you lose it, it's also a proof you are not matured. You have to keep it for the day of use. I know some of you might not believe this, but I'm not bothered that you don't believe. I used to be bothered. Sister Victoria, I'm not bothered. Imagine Jesus going up and down begging. He used to beg them to believe, but he stopped because he knew it wasn't working. So here, what is the key to this scripture is life. Say after me, life. See, if you want to understand everything, the focus is not... Actually, if you want to understand... Who else, aside you, works in a bank or bank-related stuff? You work in a bank. You have worked in a bank. Okay, they used to say that... I've not been there, but I've heard from many people that the way you know a fake currency is not by checking fake currencies. It's how? How do you know fake currencies? That's the answer you should give me. Sister, how do you know fake currencies? Huh? Right. Oh, wow. Okay, they said if you squeeze it, you will know. Should we go with the answer? Okay. How do you know? Because anything you agree, we go. What is the answer? How do you know? No, how do you know? Because me, I don't know. You might know, but I don't know. So how do I know? Let's say you start working in a bank. How do they make sure that the knowing of what is fake and original is not left to an arbitrary judgment? Because from what she's saying now, the judgment is arbitrary. So one day you can drink and come to work, and your eyes is telling you that the money you are seeing is original. You don't know. I saw a drunk man, and he was moving like this. He will look at a pillar and be calling the pillar my wife. You see, something has happened to that man, and his sight has been affected. So his judgment is incorrect. Meanwhile, yesterday he was sober. And because of his soberness, he was able to bring correct perspective. So you are working in a bank, and you and your husband quarreled in the morning. And then you went to work, and you are praying in tongues to subdue that. You have not conquered the whole stuff. It's not a bad thing. I know they won't tell you in marriage, but it happens, self. Because marriage is a training ground. So you went there, and the thing is happening. And then somebody brought money, but you are just counting. The real issue happening to you, you know, is not the money. Are you getting the point? You that can even if they hid it inside somewhere, you can find it out. Eh? But on that day, you were not in the right frame of mind, and it has affected your faculties. So you can see fake and call it original on that day. So there must be a way. Are you with me? That we can judge that is independent of subjects. Something objective. So whether is Raymond, right? Whether is Chioma? I don't know. I don't. Whoever it is, even if you are a trainee in a bank, you can know what is original. I think there is a lamp that they use. Am I right? So all you need to do is to put it under that lamp. And actually what they do, just like you said, once we have now passed that stage, we now enter your stage. So you are correct too. So what they actually do is to train you with original. So when you touch original for long and see it for long, you can actually know fake from far. So if we want to be well educated on the matters that we need to conquer as believers and establish the dominion of God as expected from us, then the first thing is not to know about the bad things and the wrong and the dead. It's to be educated in life. In fact, your capacity to know wrong, your capacity to know dead, sin is dependent on access to life. There is a way you will touch life. you can easily know what is wrong. As a matter of fact, people dwells in a plane of spiritual maturity simply because they have not been exposed to a measure of life and light. Are you with me? See, so for you at this stage, you can still be speaking in tongues and taking alcohol. You can still be speaking in tongues and taking bribe. You can still be speaking in tongues and watching BB Niger. That's for you. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. So if they tell you that something is wrong with you, you can bring 100 arguments. You can even... Some people took out their time and started searching Bible to support that. Something has eaten into their heart is death. Now, that those kind of people, you can't come and say entirely that they are not born again. But they have been pegged at a particular spiritual plane. And the reason is because they have not been exposed to life and light long enough for them to be educated. Because the real education that comes from God is organic. So even though we are trying to bring the Logos to you, our intent is that by the time the Logos comes inside you, it will be living. Because the scripture said that ye are living epistles. What does it mean? It means that the Logos enters into you and forms an integral part of your life. So that we don't, when we come tomorrow and we say, live a holy life, we don't need to say much. All we need to do is to move and come to Iman Nachi. And then we are asking, what is holy life? What is holy life? I said, holy life is that life that we are living. I heard a story that somebody said, forgotten who gave that story recently, said that a young man, a small boy that is in children's class, came and they were asking questions. And the teacher said, how many of you have seen Jesus before? How many of you have seen Jesus? The teacher was not expecting any answer. You know, those kind of religious teachings, they just feed your head, but your heart is shallow. So, everybody said, no, we have not, we have not. A young man said, I have. Small boy said, I have seen Jesus. Everybody was shocked. Where? You say, the teacher said, physically, we are not saying in a dream. He said, yes, I've seen Jesus. They now called the young man out. How? How did you see Jesus? He said, I used to see him pass my street. Forgotten who told this story. Amazing story. Guess what? It was just a young man living in the street. It so happens that everything the young child was taught about who Jesus was, the young man represented it. So as far as he's concerned, he's seen Jesus walking the street. That is the living epistle. That is the living logos. That is the intent of all teaching. Is to make you to become a certain kind of person. Not arbitrary in context. To become the person that the world represents. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
I just want to lay foundation, because if I divide what I want to divide something now, so that I will show you the origin. Now look at this scripture. The scripture said, I am come that he might have life, and that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Everybody, is this not tautology? Meanwhile, something is happening here. If you will get this teaching, if you can get this one, we'll pray and go. Because it will lay a foundation for me to build. You need to know that when Jesus is here on the face of the earth, he is so limited in his teaching. How many of you were a teacher before, or you are still a teacher? You have not taught in a classroom before? You look like somebody that have taught before. That's what I'm saying. Have you tried to teach the children in primary 3? You are teaching them for the mass. That was the challenge of Jesus. Are you now seeing the challenge?
Meanwhile, they need the information that further mass can bring. That is the solution to the need at hand.
But these people lack the capacity to interact with further mass. But if solution will come, how many of you did engineering? You studied engineering in the university. Okay, you are studying. Glory to God. So that means you are versed in integration and differentiation. Huh? It's not a big thing. Actually, the reason why we do integration and differentiation is to make a problem simple. So you can see a problem and you will see the calculation. It will fill the board like this. When you see the problem, Sister Victoria, even you will lose faith. But by the time the man that knows what he's doing is through with solving it, the answer can be -1. And begin to wonder, how did all this equation sum up to -1? Are you getting the point? So Jesus, when he teaches this man, his target is to get to -1. But the progress in solving the mathematical equation is so much that their unrenewed mind lack the capacity to interact with it. So majority of the time he will have to speak to them using parables and using words that are encoded with deeper meanings. He took men like Paul to begin to unveil to us the exact meaning of the things that Jesus is teaching. How can Paul come in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and say that which I have received of the Lord? And he was talking about the communion table. Meanwhile, the man that was talking about the communion table did not participate in it. But the authority of that teaching was resting upon his life because he was granted access to revelation. So what grants us authority in the dispensing of ministry in the body of Christ is the access that we have to revelational truth. So the more revelation you have, not head knowledge, the more authority you have. Because it is on the platform of revelation that we can administrate life to others. Are you sure you are with me? This is the lowest I can go. And I'm still going low so that you can catch me. This is what I mean. What we transport, what we actually call ministry is life. Chapter me life. That's just, I need us, what I need to do is, let's do a little lecture on life. Then we now go into all those dynamics. You now know why life is ultimate. You now know why it's the answer to everything. You now know why it is the reason why we organize this conference. So, let's say it once again. Ministry is life. Let's say it again. Ministry is life. Let's say it the third time. Ministry is life. So ministry is not gathering people together. Ministry is not even talking or teaching. Ministry is the capacity to transmit life. So if you have life to give, are you with me? Then you have ministry. It was DP that said that he came to a meeting one day. And as he stepped into the door, what he saw was an usher that is at the door. And his eyes was open. And he saw fire burning in the hands of the usher. He said he rushed like this and shook the lady's hands. Because a pastor can be sitting and a pastor, you don't know. Some of these pastors have not prayed for 3 days. I'm telling you, I'm there. They have not prayed. And they come, they will do magic. They know how to go to revelation and they do like this. And then they do worship and then they release smoke. No, there is a new thing I see in worship sessions now. There is a way you release smoke and it will fill the temple. And they say, God is here. Oga, when God comes, you don't need smoke. You can be in the hot sun. And suddenly your eyes will open and you will see the visions of God. In fact, when we know men, it's not, you don't, that dimension is
is fake until you can see it on the street. Don't believe what you have until you can replicate it. Just go to the street and try it. People can do Holy Ghost baptism in church. Take them to streets for evangelism. They'll be saying, Jesus, you are my Lord, and you promise me. I beg you in the name of Jesus, I beg you in the name of Jesus to baptize these people with the Holy Ghost. And after begging, nothing happened. Yes, I've seen. But when you come in corporate setting like this, what you don't know is that when we come in corporate setting like this, many things you pray by people's energy. You pray. Many things you are doing here is not what you brought up. Try it. You leave here after praying for 2 hours. Go back in the night to try to pray. God bless you. Continue. No, it's too loud. Soft. You now go back in the night to try to pray for 2 hours, and you are struggling. 2 hours that you just finished praying, and when you are praying, you are doing jingoism. You can even be holding hands with people like this and be like some people I see. There is a guy that said he can't pray for 2 hours, but I saw his picture on Facebook, and he was sweating and his clothes was tearing. Something is wrong. Part of the things is that when you come to corporate setting, there is an investment as a result of rank. The rank we attain in corporate setting is not the same thing. Hi, Jesus. I want to teach this, but let me just be going as the Spirit leads me. So when you come to meetings like this, people, life and light gather together. That is why I'm trying to tell you what is ministry. So you don't know, just because Ebube is the one holding the mic, you don't know what the person sitting in front of you has been doing for the past 40 days. That is why some of us that are traveling ministers, there is a big work on our head. Some of the people inviting us has been fasting since the year started. And they just invited you for one meeting, and in your mind you think you are the one that brings the answer. Many of the things that will happen there is as a result of their hunger. I have gone to meetings and I ask God, let me start speaking small. Something has started happening to me and I don't want it. I did 30 days fasting. Do you know one of the major prayer points? I asked God that prayer and prophetic conference of Dominion City should be brought down to the east. I don't know how it happened. For the first time in 2015, they held it at Mbo. Just 30 minutes from my house. I couldn't believe it. When I entered the hall and I looked at the stage, tears came out from my eyes. So the men that organized the program will be organizing it based on convenience, based on strategy, based on many things. They were a young man with hunger. So when that kind of thing happens, and then the man of God takes the mic, he will be so much influenced by the activities that has gone ahead around your life. Some of the time, the anointing that came on you was to answer to the challenge of those men. In those days, God was working sovereignly as a result of the corporate rank that has been generated by the life and light that the man that is in the fellowship has brought. Are you with me? Let me give you another example so you understand. There is a man called John G. Lake. When he was in South Africa, he was doing ministry. And in one of those days, they came for prayer meeting. And people gathered like this. And every man was praying in tongues, praying. And John was standing. After some time, he knelt down. Suddenly, at a point, light started emitting from men. Light was coming from this man, coming from this man, coming from this lady, coming, coming. And then all of them were converging on him. At a point in that experience, the energy was strong enough to lift the man up. He actually had an out-of-body encounter. He was lifted. He was still kneeling. Then he saw himself flying over the coast of South Africa, over the Indian Ocean. He finally ended up in the United Kingdom, came to Ireland, came to an asylum where a young woman has been held
in the place of people that have mental illness. When he entered, the gate opened. I mean, people later said that they noticed that things were happening physically, but they didn't see anybody. You know, some of those times, you can swear that somebody opened your door. Has it not happened to you before? You know, somebody opened this door, but there is nobody there. I'm not trying to be superstitious, but the truth is that most times people, somebody opened the door actually. And it doesn't have to be demons. It can be angels. So when those lights converged, it was able to give that man takeoff energy to go and heal somebody in Ireland. Now, are you seeing what is happening? There is a job to be done. But what the man of God has was not enough. It was the corporate life that was supplied at a junction in the meeting that was enough to lift him up. Because ministry is life. So this is what is happening. Something happened. And whoever is the thief, and in this context, we can call him Satan. The Bible says that he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But that is not my target. My target is that another man came. His name is Jesus. The scripture specifically said that in him was alive. In him was what? And the life is what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Anyway, I think I've said it. But let me not go there. Because what is inside is life. But when that life is coming out from me to you, it comes as light. That's by the way. So, there is an oppression that is here. It is the oppression of life. And then abundant life. Say after me, life. Abundant life. Let's think on this matter in 5 minutes and then we go. Was life an afterthought? You see, you will not understand the context of life if you think that life was as a result of the fact that man fell. Especially if what you're talking about is the God life. For a man, there are basically two kinds of life. One is your own human life, for a believer actually. The other one is the God life. The human life is for you to live day to day. The God life is not fundamentally for living. The God life is fundamentally for experience. And the target of that experience is confirmation. Now, follow me. Now, that means that even before man fell, are you getting the point? That God has made something available that man can access. And the purpose of that kind of access is that when a man experiences that life long enough, he'll be confirmed to who? Yes. So let's say man didn't even fall. There is still need for God life. Now, it is because man fell, that is why we needed life. And then beyond needing life, we need what? Abundant life. Let me tell you what it means. The same life that saved you is the same life that brings you to conformity. Are you getting the point? So beyond the fact that that life saved you from sin, death, Satan, it still retains the capacity to move you from where you are a baby Christian
where your life is low and dwelling in the flesh, to the place where you are conformed to the image of the Christ, which is the original agenda in the heart of God. So the man is saying that you don't know the surpassing power of life, that it is such that it will not just rescue you from sin and Satan, it still retains the capacity to approximate you to the conformation. Are you getting the point? Now, people that don't know this, once they get born again, they say, I am born again. They start preparing for heaven. I don't know your church, but I don't know which denomination is that, that their motto is heaven at last. I apologize to you. I'm not the one that said it, oh. Because many people listen to me. If you are from that denomination, you guys are doing fine in Jesus' name. So my point is that, no, that's not the end. The end is not heaven at last. The end is confirmation to the image of the one from whom we are made. He said he became of him of whom is all things, so that we will be conformed to the image of his son. There is a vision that God had in his heart. In fact, the reality that he wanted to manifest is already in him. So he wanted to fulfill it in man. So the human life became the vehicle in this phase, in this realm, that we carry the divine and eternal life that is coming. And when man has experienced that eternal life long enough, it will confirm him. It so happens that before man could experience the eternal life, he fell. So yet the answer to falling is still that, the answer is still that life. Are you getting why we read this scripture now? So the life came to save you, but beyond that, it was an abundant life. So beyond the fact that it could save you from sin and Satan, and save you from, it can save you from all kinds of addiction. Beyond the fact that God saved you as a believer and you are now born again, after some time, he can, that same life can save you from anger. It can save you from bitterness. It can save you from guile, cunningness. It can save you from greed. That same life. That same life can approximate you. And you need to know that the administration of this life is not just in dealing with the things that are negative. Are you with me? Oh, if you are with me, say amen. That is fundamentally what I want to establish in this teaching. So that you can come to the point where you can look at your life. It will seem as if there are little or no negative things manifesting in your life, because the administration of that life have dealt with you, dealt with the flesh long enough in your heart that you find it hard to be angry, to be greedy, to be selfish, and many of those things. I said the work of that life has not finished, because it was the fall that made us to even emphasize on the negative things. Let's say the fall did come. I say that when we know the will of God, there is an investment of wisdom and spiritual understanding that we still need to enter into the recesses of life. That was why the man that was speaking here said that I am come to give you life, and even more abundant life. I want you to pray in 1 minute. Lord, teach me the abundance of life. A life that overflows to everything. A life that a generation can feed. That is what will cure our generation. Do you know? The Bible says that the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Is an abundant life. It's an abundant life. The life that overflows. Pray in 1 minute. Pray in 1 minute. The life that can't overflow it has not fulfilled its purpose. Something will flow out of us. We are in the days of the saints. Not in the days of one man show. It is in the day where every one man amongst us will be a priest. Is a priest nation. And if it's a priest nation, then everybody must be educated in how to carry life and presence. We carry it everywhere we enter, because our duty is to administrate life and ministry's life. If we can bring life to our business place, then we have brought ministry. Teach me the abundance of life. There is more to be born again.
inside, it's inside, it's inside. Oh my God. Abundant life. Abundant life.
Life teaches men. Just as sin and death teaches men, life also teaches men. Do you know that even though man fell and sinned, there are many things he doesn't know about sin? Yes. That is why even before you got born again, two people, their adventure in sin is not the same. Some are deeper, some are surface level. That is to show you that whatever you receive have capacity to teach you depths in it. So a time came, and even men know how to heal for themselves weapons of war, all kinds of things. They sleep with each other. So the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 4, he said that my spirit can no more strive with man, for he is only but flesh. We'll see it in another session. Because if the education will come, then we have to know the spirit. But in the regime of the flesh, it is not possible for that education to come. But in the regime of life, the regime of the spirit, then the education can start. In Jesus' mighty name. Who am I handing over to? You are blessed.
Put your hands together for Jesus. I hope you are blessed.